KCRW sponsors include Searchlight Pictures, presenting the new movie, The Greatest Hits. Music takes us places. What if it could literally take you back in time? The Greatest Hits is a hypnotic journey through the connection between love, music, and memory. Now streaming on Hulu.
Hi, I'm Eric J. Lawrence, and I am here with architect Neil Denari. He's an influential force in the culture of contemporary architecture with notable projects here in L.A., New York, and Japan. He's also a professor at UCLA, has won numerous accolades for his distinct work, authored 2 best-selling books, and given hundreds of lectures around the world. But today, we'll be talking about some songs that have inspired him over the years as part of KCRW's Guest DJ project. Neil, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Eric. Great to be here.
So what's the first song you got for us?
First song is Theme from Shaft by Black Moses Isaac Hayes. I was 13 at the time, you know, in Texas, growing up in suburbia, and a lot of classical music around the house, opera and so forth. So just the whole introduction to black culture was so different, of course, than what I knew at the time. And I think the most important thing was that this song, in its kind of repetitive, insistent, kind of driving form, felt so much different than, you know, verse, chorus, verse of pop music or some of the bombast of rock music at the time. And it was just so stripped down, and it was all about texture and rhythm. So I felt like I was really sensing that I was connected to texture and rhythm more than melody. And, you know, the lyrics don't come in until 2.5 minutes. So I consider it like this instrumental song. It's just awesome.
Dick, that's a sex machine to all the chicks. You're damn right. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
That was the theme from Shaft from Isaac Hayes, selected by our guest Neil Denari. What's the next track you got for us?
Next track is called Kurt's Rejoinder by Brian Eno. It's from his Before and After Science album from 1977. I was in undergraduate school in Houston at the time, and of course I was studying architecture and getting immersed in all of that. And this was the first time where a musician, Eno, who said, I'm not a musician, by the way, I really construct ideas in a studio. I felt connected to the idea of music, let's say, as a sort of intellectual project, but at the same time, it was still music that you wanted to dance to. So this is the architectural song, and this is Eno as a kind of designer. Totally opened my eyes to new things.
Does the intertextuality of the arts, such as other things like music and visual arts, does that connect with your sense of architecture?
Yes, it does. I think that architecture, you know, is one among, you know, many media. The classic sense is architecture is the most eternal one and timeless, and it's got to be built for a long time, and everything else is a little bit ephemeral and things, you know, sort of come and go. But I really feel like architecture always needs to connect to its time and its zeitgeist and so forth. But I think the sense of mood and atmosphere of different media is constantly affecting, you know, the way I think. And I spend as much time doing all the research in other fields as I do my own field to be able to inform the work.
That was Brian Eno with Kurt's Rejoinder, as selected by our guest, Neil Denari. What's the next track you got for us?
Eric, the next track is the second movement of Symphony No. 5 by Glenn Branca. This is an interesting piece. It's a symphony, but it's written in 1984. And this is the one piece out of the 5 that I saw performed live when I lived in New York. I saw this poster, and I hadn't heard of Branca, and I saw this poster. I was living in the East Village, and the title of the piece is called Describing Planes of an Expanding Hypersphere, and I said, I'm going to that. So I went to my local record store on 8th Street and I said, you know, give me a ticket for the show. And he's chuckling at me as I leave and he goes, you better bring your earplugs. And I go, why? And he goes, just do a little bit of research, okay, before you go. I was afraid. And I don't think I had earplugs. I had like cotton. And I went with a friend and we walked in and there were 10 Marshall stacks about, you know, 15 feet away from us. And we said, oh my God, this is just going to be intense. And in fact, it was a real epiphany for me. And, you know, Brank is not for everybody, for sure, but on a sonic level, just the way in which something so structured could create a body-related experience, something so physical, it never left me. And really, he's one of my favorite composers, you know, still to this day, and I see him whenever I can.
Well, here's Glenn Branca with the second movement from his Symphony No. 5. That was Glenn Branca with Symphony No. 5, the second movement from that, so you can take your earplugs out. What's the next track you got for us?
Well, this track is called The Bridge by Lee Ranaldo, and Lee, of course, was a founding member of Sonic Youth. This particular piece was really about living in New York.
About a week ago.
And it both signaled, you know, my love for New York, but also some sense of I had to make good on my mission to come and live in Los Angeles.
New York is so monolithic, and obviously with the music, there's a lot of inspiring music that has come out of New York still to this day. Was New York inspiring for you from an architectural standpoint?
Yes, it was, in a kind of, let's say, reverse fashion. In the 80s, when all of this amazing music was happening, architecture was reverting back to a conservative, historical, Dark Ages model in a way. So what was great was the music was the sort of driving force for me to kind of push my ideas in my own medium because there wasn't anything else to look at. And I felt, just as a person making things, I felt connected, you know, to these guys in thinking about conceptual ideas and just trying to get to the point where you could really make architecture that had a kind of mission to it. And I feel like it's the same cultural mission as what these musicians had, which was to innovate, to make new paradigms, make new forms, challenge the audience.
Well, here's a selection from Lee Ranaldo. It's The Bridge.
And it was dark, and it was night, and the fumes were making me high. And I was surrounded by a wall of guitars about 100 feet up above the East River, and I liked it.
A very New York City-centric song from Lee Ranaldo, The Bridge, is selected by our guest, Neil Denari. What's the last track you got for us?
Well, Eric, we're going to wrap it up, I think, with Optimism and Sunshine.
Okay.
We're going to bring it to L.A., and this is Keep Your Dreams by Suicide. Now, by the time I decided to move to L.A. in 88, and it was, again, my longstanding dream to come to L.A., even when I was a kid, and finally making good on that, this song, when I hear it, I think about the city as a kind of collection of dreams. Both dreams that have come true, dreams that have washed up on shore, dreams that have crashed and burned, the dream of utopia, but it's a cracked utopia. All of these things are why I love living here. And Alan Vega, the lead singer who sort of crossed Elvis and Iggy Pop, brings a kind of sense of earnestness, even though all he's saying is keep your dreams, you know, baby, baby, baby. And it like being in your car, and the city of L.A. doesn't have a discernible form. You've got to make it up in your own head. And when I hear this song, it allows me to be able to make up L.A. again and again in my own head and kind of, you know, live out the dream in the dreamlike utopia.
Dream.
That was Suicide with Keep Your Dreams, as selected by our guest, Neil Denari. Neil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Eric. It's been great.
For a complete track listing and to find these songs online, go to kcrw.com/guestdjproject and subscribe to the podcast through iTunes.